It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and I so appreciate you joining me each weekday for this program, podcast, radio program, whatever you listen on. We are broadcast on a number of radio stations around the country, and then we release the podcast on Facebook, on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, YouTube, all the podcast formats, Twitter. And so if you do miss a program sometime on the radio and you want to catch up, you can just go on a podcast format and catch the program for that day. Yesterday, we finished the great epistle of 1 John. I love the book of 1 John. It's one of the most important books for a believer to study. So today, I was thinking it would probably be a good idea if we continue on to the very next book, which is 2 John, which makes sense after 1 John. 2 John, though, is probably one of the shortest books in all of the Bible. It's only one chapter long, and yet it's packed with incredible teachings about truth, about love. And once again, John warns about the false teachers that were coming, and he wanted to warn them. And it's written to by the Apostle John, and he addresses this letter in a unique way. It's addressed to the elect lady and her children. Look what he says in verse 1. "The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth." It's interesting that John begins the book by addressing himself as the elder, not the apostle, but the elder. I believe this is written as John is now an old man. It's believed that he was probably 90 years old, and he uses this word elder not so much as the name of the office that he held, but that he was a mature one, he had been around, he was there with Jesus, and now he was probably the oldest of all the apostles and the only one who's going to die a natural death on the island of Patmos. You can take it for granted that John wrote this book. Everyone believes that he wrote the book of 2 John, but it's who he wrote it to that brings about the big question. He says, "To the elect lady," or the chosen lady. Who is John talking about? I've heard people say, was he writing to the Virgin Mary? Who could this chosen lady be? I believe it was probably not an individual Paul was writing to. I believe he was writing to the lady, the church, the bride of Christ. I believe it, the term he used here of the elect lady or the chosen lady was because we as the church of Jesus, the body of Christ, are chosen before the foundation of the world. See, this elect lady or this chosen lady, she was loved by all and all who have known the truth. That's why I believe, friend, that John is writing this to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on in verse 2 and he says, "For the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever." So this letter was written to the church, and it was written for the sake of the truth that abides in us and it'll be with us forever. We have an unshakable kingdom in the kingdom of God. Now, verse 3, he begins the salutation. He says, "Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." Did you notice something different with that? So many times John or Peter or whoever's writing an epistle, they will say, "Grace and peace be unto you." But notice what John says here in 2 John. "Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." John is now the elder. He's now an old man. He's now lived long enough to know it's going to still be with us. God's grace, God's mercy, and God's peace. For just a moment, allow me to break down those three things that John wishes in his salutation to the church. The very first one was grace. My favorite subject. God's ability in you to do for you what you cannot do yourself. We're saved by grace. We live by grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is also when you get something you don't deserve. So the very first thing he wishes is grace. The second one is mercy. Now maybe you are thinking today, Keith, what's the difference in mercy and grace? Well, grace is when you get something you don't deserve. Mercy is when you don't get something you do deserve. Mercy is when we're spared from the wrath of God, but God shows us love instead of his wrath. And then there's peace. What is peace? Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the calm assurance in the middle of whatever you're facing. God's shalom, his tranquility, no matter what the circumstances of life are, you can rest in the peace of God. So this is what John wishes to the church. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Now look at verse 4. John says, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. Notice John said, I found some of your children walking in truth. Not all of them, just some of them. Notice the heart of the elder. I rejoiced greatly. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth. What made him happy was to see people that had taken the message that John had preached, and they took it to heart, and they were walking now in truth. Makes me think of my grandson. I watched him as he began to walk and take a step here and a step there. And then all of a sudden, he got it. All of a sudden, he's not walking, but he's running. John's saying, that's what happened to your children. They're walking out in truth. Verse 5, he says, now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. You remember the command of Jesus in John 13:35, when Jesus was talking to the disciples and he said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John now reminds the reader of this letter the very foundational commandment to love one another that Jesus gave us. But the love is not just an emotion. It's demonstrated by the obedience to God's command. True love is shown by our obedience to God. And our love for each other is based on God's word and not just our personal likes. There was a small town that had an old church with a beautiful stained glass window that depicted Jesus and his disciples. And when the sunlight hit the window just right, it cast a stunning display of colors onto the floor, creating a breathtaking sight. Well, one day a storm shattered part of the window, and it left a large hole in the image. The townspeople were devastated. There was a local artist who offered to repair it, but instead of using new glass, he collected broken pieces of colored glass from all over the town, some from old homes, others from discarded bottles, and even fragments from the original window. And when the repairs were complete, the window was even more beautiful than before. People marveled at how all the broken pieces had come together to form something truly extraordinary. See, God's love is like that stained glass window. Each of us, with our flaws, our differences, our backgrounds, we're like pieces of broken glass. Alone, we may feel insignificant or unworthy, but when we come together in Christ's love, we create a masterpiece that reflects his glory. They'll know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. John now begins to address an important problem that was going on in the church. He says in verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Once again, John is probably talking about the Judaizers trying to bring people back under the law or the Gnostics who were coming, bringing false doctrine into the church. And John's telling them, the spirit behind this is the spirit of Antichrist that denies Jesus is the Son of God. Watch yourselves, he says, that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. John is urging the church here to remain steadfast in the teachings of Jesus and not abandon the sound doctrine, because that causes a spiritual loss. Friend, we have to stay firm in biblical truth in order to receive God's full reward on our life. True faith abides in the teachings of Christ. It doesn't seek all these new revelations that contradict Scripture. Look now at verse 9. John says, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. Now, perhaps you're thinking today, Keith, why all this warning about false teachers? Because, my friend, it doesn't take a whole lot. A little bit of false teaching is like a little bit of leaven that spoils the whole batch. It can mess up a church. It can mess up a life. And John is warning the body of Christ here about that very thing. He goes so far as to say in verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. It's very important, because we have people that, in a particular false doctrine, that go around knocking on doors all the time, and they want to get in your house and they want to try to get you to debate. They'll talk to you about the last days or something that might pique your interest, but their whole objective is to mess you up and to give you their false doctrines. John says, don't let them in your house and do not give them a greeting. You just shut the door. Verse 11, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. See, John's saying, you just have no part of them. That's the best way to cut it off the head of the snake. Now he's closing in verse 12. He says this, though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face so that your joy may be made full. The children of your chosen sister greet you. See, John's telling here the importance of personal fellowship. He wants to do a face-to-face with these people. He don't want to just write them a letter. He's praying that God will allow him to visit them one more time. Could you imagine if the Apostle John had what we have today and he could do a FaceTime call with the church? Wouldn't that be amazing? See, today, the technology, as it's growing by leaps and bounds, missionaries are using this today to teach around the world. People are being taught using the technology that God gives us. John's saying to them, man, there's so much I wanted to write to you. I'm going to hold some of it off till I can come and be with you in person. And then he says, the children of your chosen sister greet you. Once again, I believe he's referring here to the lady as being the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that's who John is talking about. See, friend, we belong to a larger body of believers beyond our local church. And John is speaking of that here. And the children of the chosen lady, your chosen sister, they greet you. So it's been good today as we've taught this second epistle of John. And John spoke to us about walking in truth and love and to guard against the false teachers who come trying to creep into your homes. He said, don't let them in. Thank you so much for joining me today, friend. We covered an entire book of the Bible today in 15 minutes. Write to me this week. Go by the website at weneedgod.com. Remember, God loves you.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He he makes his mercies new every morning.